saw that Jesus was walking amongst the seven lampstands. We dealt with the church at Ephesus. And some time ago, we dealt with the church at Smyra. And today, we are dealing with the church at Pergamos. Say Pergamos. Hallelujah. That name means fortified. Hallelujah. So let's go to our text in Revelation chapter 2. And in all these churches, when Jesus came there, he came there to judge. Amen. Judgment is not fun. Hallelujah. And judgment is not a shouting, preaching message. Amen. Judgment is a cut and dry thing. Amen. Whenever, in fact, the Bible is full of judgments all throughout the world. And we've learned last week or last 2 weeks that eternal judgment is a fate that every one of us is going to go through. And whatever we do here on the earth is going to count for eternity, for good or for bad. Amen. And so I value these times that we can meet together. You have come from all over North Carolina to meet here. We have just about an hour or two to deal with this word. And it's my prayer that God will minister this word to you your own way. Amen. That whatever you are going through, God himself will bring a judgment in your life. That will bring a separation. Amen. The Bible says, let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Are we all there? I want us to look at, verse 12. Revelation 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Wow. This church is facing some troubles. Amen. Well, look at verse 14. The Bible says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitanes, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Let's shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus is going through the church one by one. He's gone through Ephesus. He's gone through Smyra. Now he's going through Pergamos. These are different churches. Amen. Different situations. Different locations. Different problems. Different good works. Every church has something good that they were doing. And at the same time, in that same church, there were some unfortunate things that were going on. Amen. Hallelujah. If you go to churches all over the world today, you will see these seven churches over there. Amen. You see churches that are suffering, churches that are under great persecution. There are churches in the world where they have to plan ahead where they are going to meet. Because if they meet at a certain place, they may go to prison. Amen. Those Smyra churches are there. Amen. There are churches that are doing good works. There are some churches that have orphanages. Amen. That have schools. That have all kinds of things, good works that they are doing. Some have, you know, places where they shelter the homeless. Hallelujah. There are men of God that provide homes for widows. Amen. People are doing all kinds of great things. Amen. There are poor churches. That means there are churches in places where as soon as you become a Christian, they confiscate what you have. And they are in great need. Amen. And yet they are holding on to God. Amen. Still doing the works of God. And there are churches that are prosperous. And we'll be looking at that in Laodicea. Who think they have arrived? Amen. Amen. So God has, for every single church, there's something going on. Amen. And the first church, the church at Ephesus, they were very sharp. The Bible said they would try even the men of God that would come to them. And if a man of God didn't meet the standard of the word of God, they would just put him aside. Can you imagine that? Today we accept whoever. Amen. Anybody who can hold the mic, we will accept the person. Do you know you have to check out the person who is delivering the word of God to you? I mean, when you go to a restaurant, they will tell you 99A or 89. And if you know what those things mean, you will advise yourself. If you go in there, 70, 70 is not good. You think 70 is good, but it's not really good. Is that good? No, 70 isn't right. That means there are some cockroaches around, some rodents around, and you don't want to eat in that place. But when it comes to spiritual things, we just, you know, relax and allow whoever to speak to us. We have to be discerning. Amen. Because we are living in the days that are dangerous. You have to check me out. You have to check every man of God out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And woman of God as well. Amen. Well, in this particular church, when Jesus came there, he came with a sword. Everybody see a sword. That means trouble. Amen. The way Jesus comes will tell you what's going to happen. At times he comes as a rose. At times he comes as a lily. At times he comes as the morning star. At times he comes like a lamb. At times he comes like a lion. Amen. And this time around, I mean, he came as somebody with a sword. Now you only come with a sword unless you're going to cut something. You're going to do some fighting here. There was something going on in that church. And Jesus had come. His eyes were red. And he had a sword to do some work. Amen. I believe Jesus is here with a sword. Amen. For there's some work that has to be done this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Because in this place, Jesus speaking said that Satan was having a seat over there. There was a throne that Satan was sitting on in that location. According to, you know, the historians, Pergamos was the place where the god called Zeus, and it had different names in different cultures. That was where a great altar had been raised up. And according to the Greek culture, that particular god was like the highest god or the supreme god. And God called that god Satan. Amen. So that really makes us understand that it's not everything that is God. Because of political correctness, some call Allah the same God we serve. I'm telling you that Allah is Satan. Allah is a manifestation of the kingdom of darkness. Everywhere that Muslims are, you will realize that there's violence there. You realize that people die. And if there's no Christian to kill, they kill themselves. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Everywhere it happens. Amen? Am I telling the truth or not? We call them a peaceful religion, but it's not peaceful. Amen. And that is because at the beginning of time, God said that Ishmael would be a wild guy. Everybody say wild guy. God said that his sons and his family, they'll be such that they'll be fighting amongst themselves. And they will always be men of the sword. That's what God decreed about their lives. Go check it out. Go find out about Ishmael. The guy was a wild guy. That's why Sarah said, get this person away from me. Get him out. Otherwise, you'll mess up the inheritance that I have to give to Isaac. Amen? So we have to be violent about what we believe. I don't mean taking a gun and going to shoot people up. Amen? We go into the spirit. We legislate in the spirit what has to be done. Amen? Hallelujah. Can we go all the way back to verse 13? Hallelujah. In verse 13, we see something happening in our church. Do you believe that Jesus sees more than we see? You know, with the eyes of man, you can't see everything. Amen. But the Bible says that Satan is able to transform himself into an angel of light. So to be able to see what the enemy is doing, you need to see with the eye of the spirit. Amen. You can't use your mind. Your mind will deceive you. Your mind will tell you that something is good is bad. Amen. That's what your mind will tell you. Hallelujah. But the spirit will tell you what is right from what is not right. Amen. He said, I know thy ways. I know how hard you are working. I know how much you are evangelizing. I thank you that you are doing a wonderful work. Amen. He said, I know where you dwell. So Jesus knows where you dwell. Jesus knows your address. Amen. He has assigned angels to your address. He has been keeping you all this time because his eye is on you. The Bible says that we are engraved in the palms of his eyes. For the Bible says that we are the apple of his eye. So he knows where you are located. He knows what you are dealing with in life. In fact, Jesus said, the Father knoweth what things ye have need of. He knows the deepest secrets of your heart. Amen. And I thank God for that. He has eyes that see. And he saw that Satan had established a seat in that same region that the church was in. And the Bible says, but in spite of the demonic entrenchment, they were still holding on to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They didn't allow the demonic entrenchment to undermine their faith. Many places where the demonic realm is heavily invested, you see that, you know, people of God are hiding and not proclaim the name of Jesus openly. But not the church at Pergamos. The Christians were holding their Bible. The Christians were professing Jesus in the face of great tribulation. Amen. So even though the enemy was dead, they were still doing the work of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, you have not denied my faith. Jesus said that if you do not confess my name before men, I will also be ashamed of you. And I will not confess your name before my Father and the angels. But I said that if you will confess my name, if you tell people about me, what will happen? I will also talk about you in the corridors of heaven. I want to have that kind of approval. I want to have that kind of fame. I'm not just interested in fame on the earth. I want fame in heaven. I want to be like Daniel, that the angel came and said, Daniel, you are highly favored in heaven. Daniel, in heaven, you are a big man. Hallelujah. I want to be a big man in heaven. What about you? Hallelujah. The Bible says that there was a certain man called Antipas. Many believe that he was the bishop of that church. That means overseer. Amen. He was the man in charge. And they came against him. Amen. And the Bible says that because of his believing in God, he became an example. Amen. He became an example of those who didn't deny the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This person was an epitome of what Jesus was saying. He said that in that church, they did not deny his name. Right? And this man, the head of that church, he held onto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of what had happened. And because of that, he died. He was killed because of his belief in God. There are people, do you know that there are people who have died for the faith? And I ask you a question, are you prepared to die for what you believe in? It's so easy to say yes now. In fact, Peter and the apostle said, we will never leave you alone. Jesus said, oh, you're going to betray me. I mean, you're going to deny me. And they said, no, Peter was very clear. He says, I will not deny you. If you have to go to die, I will die with you. Jesus said, you don't know what will happen. Before the cock crows, you deny me 3 times. He went out there. Jesus was in trouble. Peter went there with him. Peter said, I'll follow you, right? He kept his word. Peter followed Jesus to the hall of judgment. But when he saw what was happening, the young girl came and said, I think you are one of them. He said, I don't know him. I don't know what you are talking about. Peter was the person that Jesus changed his name and said, you will be the greatest apostle. You'll be the one in charge. In fact, if you don't open the door, nobody can go. He said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He said, I don't know him. He said, Peter, you know what? The taxes that we have to pay go to the sea. The first fish that comes out, the gold coin in the mouth, use it to pay our taxes. So because of Jesus, Peter had his taxes paid. But that day he said, I don't know you. Amen. There was a day that the disciples were in serious trouble in the water. And the sea was so terrible. And they woke up Jesus and said, do you not care that we are perishing? And the Bible says Jesus stood up and said, peace be still. And the Bible says there was a great calm. But in the day of Jesus' dark hour, Peter said, I don't know you. We can say, I know you when everything is fine. When the 5,000 people are being fed with bread, we say, oh, Jesus is the best. When Lazarus comes out of the grave, we are like, yes, that is my man. I have been with him. See my membership card. Amen. But when the trouble comes, you are like, we don't know who that guy is. That is like America. America is just like that. America is powerful. They will lift you all the way up. Amen. And if your seat is not high enough, CNN will just give you a higher seat. And NBC will add on something else. Before you are aware, you are so high in the air. And then at another time, they will start pulling the seats away. And then you come all the way down. Amen. They are very good at that. The same people that said that Jesus, hallelujah, Hosanna in the highest, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the man. The same people that the chief priests incited them. I don't know what they used to incite them, and they said, crucify him. And Pilate said, what evil has he done? They said, look, crucify him. He said, this one there, me, a Gentile, an unbelieving heathen, I can see that this man is innocent. I can't do this. They said, don't worry about it. We can see that you are guilt-stricken. Let his blood be on our own hands and on our children. Amen. Within a generation, they were out of that place. And coming back, look at the trouble that's taking them to come back to their land. I hope you're hearing this way. Denying Jesus, there's a price. But those who hold on to him, God always elevates them. Antipas said, I will not deny Jesus today. I will not deny him tomorrow. They said, well, then be ready to die. Many have died down through the ages. And the person and the people who have killed most Christians is the church. Are you aware? All down through the ages, churches thought that they were doing the right thing by chasing people who had the Bible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And God himself has lifted us up at this time. Amen? And there are churches today that used to persecute others who are now saying that we won't do that anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are living in those days where those things are going to start happening again. In this very day, those who believe in the Holy Ghost and believe in the works, they are given up by the very people who also believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There was a time, how many of you know about Jim Baker? Amen. He was like the Paul Crouch of his time. He put in place the PTL, the TV station, amen. And then it was a very, very good thing. For the first time, the messages we preach in our four walls could go all over the world. A lot of money was coming in. My brother took care of some of the money. We know that. And then they came and caught him. Amen. And they put him in prison, and you know what happened. And they were interviewing some of the pastors concerning that issue. And one of the interviewers, they were interviewing the pastors, and they said, you know what, when it comes to scandals, it's very difficult for us to develop our reports. It takes us a long time to come up with information. We have to ask questions, go and ask eyewitnesses, go to all kinds of lengths. But when it came to you guys, you came with the information to us. We didn't have to struggle for the information. Amen. The church kills itself. And the time has come for the church to rise up and to be united. You see how difficult it was to take Osama bin Laden down? The Pakistanis knew he was there. I mean, he was where the defense ministry. He was in the middle of the defense establishment. You can't tell me you didn't know about him. Because the longer he's there, the more money we have to give them. Amen. No trouble, no money. If you kill Osama, what's the need to bring money? I hope you understand what I'm saying. In the billions of dollars. Because, you see, the Muslims are different. They may have different variants of the Islamic expression. But when they see another Muslim, they are like a brother. Amen? And because of that, when even if they fight against you and another person is coming, you see how when brothers in the same family will fight like crazy. But when they go out and somebody attacks the other brother, they all will come together and fight against the other person and go home and still fight. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how they are. So someone's like, guys, I'm in trouble. They say, oh, come over here. They give him a nice house. And when America took him out, who did they become angry with? With those who harbored him or with those who took him out? They said, America, why did you kill him? Why did you just come into a place and kill somebody like that? I'm like, what are you talking about? Are you on our side or against us? The Muslims, they are together. But in the church, you have, can we go there? You have First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Reformed Baptist, Independent Baptist, Big Fat Baptist, amen. We have all nations this, all nations that, all nations this. Amen. We have all kinds of expressions. We have Redeemed Church this, Redeemed Church that, that. I mean, all kinds of expressions. Methodist Church first, Methodist Church second. All over the place. Amen. In fact, there are churches that say if you don't come to our churches, you are not saved. You are not going to heaven. There are churches that if you join their membership, you have to be baptized again. Amen. I mean, it's just confusion. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us. In those days, they called it the church. You know, so the church at Antioch. Oh, the church in Durham. But now you have all different kinds of churches. May God bring us together. It is in a unity that things will happen. When you deny a brother, you've denied Jesus Christ. Amen. If I hear that you've done something bad, and you're a member of this church, and I'm the pastor, and somebody's asking me, what do I have to do? I say, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll have to smoothen things over. Amen. And then I can come home and say, look, what happened? Amen. Talk to me now. What is going on? I hope you're understanding this. Peter denied Jesus. And for that, Jesus had to restore him before he could do his job. Let's be careful who we tear down with our mouth. As soon as you direct your finger against somebody, many fingers are coming against you. It's so easy to judge. It's very easy to judge. But the Bible says that you are looking at somebody's problem and pointing out. Amen. You say, I see a small speck in your eye. And God looking from above saying that you seeing a small speck, you have a big log in your eye. Take that log out first, and then you can see the little speck in somebody else's eye. That judgmental spirit, that fault-finding spirit, I kill it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I kill that foul spirit in Jesus' name. We need to learn how to push each other rather than tear down each other. Amen. The church needs to learn how to do that. When Saul died, a young man ran and gave the news to Brother David. David is the one that Saul wanted to kill. And Saul was hunting him down like a dog. And when they brought the news to David that Saul, his arch enemy, is dead, the Bible says Saul and David and his men tore their clothes. And they began to cry. All day they cried. And they sang a song and said that Saul, the great man of God, is dead. They began to cry. And David made a song and said, don't speak about this in the roads and in the streets of the Philistines. Don't let the enemy even hear about what has happened. You see how they protected their own, even though the guy wasn't a good guy, going to witches for counsel, yet they covered him. I don't know why I'm saying this, but we have to cover each other. Amen. I'm not saying we don't correct each other. You know me, I'll correct you. You know me, right? Will I lie to you? Do I lie to you? No. But outside, we have to have a united front. Because God is doing something with this ministry. Amen. Antipas said, I will not deny Jesus today. I will not deny Jesus tomorrow. And they killed him. Amen. We need to make a conscious decision as to what to do if we are faced with such an issue. Because we are living in the days and times where we are going to see persecution in United States of America. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I had a dream about, I think there was a certain establishment. I don't know what establishment it was. That establishment decided not to accept gays in their community. And in a dream, I saw how all the gay community all over the country had come over there to stop their business, to stop that business. If that is not persecution, I don't know what is. It's gotten to the point where people are scared to say anything anymore. Are you hear what I'm saying? And if to overcome this, all the church has to come together. If every pastor, if every church is standing up, this thing will shut down. But if we're all quiet and sniping at each other, we can't make it. Are you hear what I'm saying? With what is happening, the church will have to come together. And we overcome it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 14. This is a good church, isn't it? A church that is holding on to the name of the Lord Jesus. But, you know, Jesus has eyes. Amen. Whilst he sees something good, there's also something bad, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know, when you go, when people are examining you, they'll say, oh, you have a nice chin. But your ears, you know. Hallelujah. Everybody has something that they want to cover up. Amen. That's why the makeup industry will always have people. Amen. Now the cosmetologists are always going to have people. Hallelujah. Even nails can have people to take care of. Even nails. There are people whose employment is sold to just make sure that your nails are properly manicured. Amen. People don't want their body no more. I hear that some people have gone to the extent where if they're a little bit short, you can go and they can stretch out your bone. Have you heard of that before? Yeah. And there are those who are big who want to, you know, become thin, who will vomit and do all kinds of things and go under the operation. I thought you only go to operation when you are sick. But a healthy person will go and say, cut me up and remove this fat. I hear what I'm saying. But may God help us to overcome that image problem we have. But the church has an image problem too. You know that. But let's look at how Jesus sees things. Jesus said that you have something going on there. There are people there who have the doctrine of Balaam. Oh my God. I thought Balaam was killed in Numbers 25. The Bible says he was killed with a sword. What is Balaam doing here in the New Testament? How come that this false prophet has found his way all over into this place? Bible says that those in the church who have his doctrine, who have his teaching. And the Bible says this Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Do you see the fornication word over there? All right, hallelujah. Verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So, you know, there's been a lot of stuff written about the Nicolaitans, but suffice it to say that the Bible says so. Everybody says so. That means that the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is the same doctrine that Balaam released in the Old Testament. Amen. The same spirit that operated was still operating in those days. See, Satan is very much, you know, hindered, or he is totally incapable of doing anything on the earth unless he finds a willing person, a human being. Because the Bible says that the heavens is given to, it belongs to God, but the earth has been given to the sons of men. So if the devil has to do something, he needs to find somebody on the earth who will be willing to allow the devil to use them. The Bible says that when Judas Iscariot received the sword, Satan entered into him. Satan wanted to betray Jesus, but he could not betray Jesus. They couldn't find where he was, but Satan knew where he was. Right? He knew where he was, but he couldn't do anything about it. Until somebody said, come, I'm willing. How much money would you give me to do this thing? And when he accepted the money and the food went into his mouth, the Bible says in John, Satan entered into him. And then this guy, Jesus said to Judas Iscariot, but he was speaking to Satan, that which thou doest, do quickly. Hallelujah. Now the devil had found somebody willing to do. And the Balaams of this world are those who have willingly allowed the devil to have full control over their lives. The Balaams are those who have given 100% of their spirit, soul, and body to the devil. They have signed over their soul in blood. I hope you hear what I'm saying. Just as, you know, God needs somebody to be willing to yield to the Holy Ghost for him to move through and speak through. In the same way, the enemy needs people to work through. Hallelujah. May we never allow the enemy to speak through us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Balaam was a very interesting guy. In fact, the Bible is confused. Let me use that word. I hope you understand me. The Bible seems to be confused about who he was. Now let's go to Joshua. Let me see something there. Joshua 13 verse 22. Joshua 13 verse 22. Let's go there. Hallelujah. People say different things about Balaam. Some call him a prophet. Some call him a sorcerer. Amen. But look at Joshua 13 verse 22. What does it say? Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer. And that word means a wizard, a charmer, an enchanter. Amen. Somebody who operates in the dark arts or the occultic realm. Those who achieve wicked enterprises using demonic assistance. I hope you understand that. These are people who are wicked. The Bible calls them wicked. And these people have the eternal judgment upon their lives. The Bible says this guy, the children of Israel, slay with a sword among them that were slain by them. Amen. That's why Jesus came with a sword to that particular church. The same way they killed Balaam is the same way we kill Balaam now. Amen. Say, in Jesus' name, O sword of the living God, be released. I loose you against every Balaam of my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says this guy was a soothsayer. Everybody shout soothsayer. Well, let's go to 2 Peter 2, verse 16. And let's see what this man of God had to say about our dear, I don't know how to say brother or uncle or whatever, but we'll just say Balaam, amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Are you in this house? Hallelujah. Are you here? Okay, I want to start from verse 15. The Bible says, talking about wicked men and women of God, which have forsaken the right way. Everybody say, forsaking the right way. That means somebody was doing right and then turned around and became a very wicked person. Those are the most dangerous people. Amen. The Bible says that they have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosso, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, who was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the... So Peter calls him a prophet, and Joshua calls him a soothsayer. So immediately the Bible naysayers will say, there's contradiction right here. Amen. But Peter started by saying that he forsook the right way. Somehow, this guy must have known the Lord God of hosts. He had, if you read Numbers 22 to 24, and I encourage you to do that when you go home. Today is Sunday, isn't it? So you have all the day. The Super Bowl is over. Ravens won. It's gone. It's over. Amen. We can't reenact it. So we have a whole day in front of us. You can read Numbers 22, 23, and 24, and 25, and you can capture what I'm talking about. Balaam must have been a person who God could work through, open to the realms of the spirit. Balaam says something. He said, I'm a man who has his eyes open in the spirit. He said, I'm falling into a trance, and I see far into the distance. And he saw the same star of David that came when the wise men were following Jesus Christ. They knew that prophecy of Balaam. So when the star came, they said, where is that star that was spoken about? The person who prophesied about the star that stood over Jesus was who? Balaam. He was a powerful prophet. He's a person that he will go out to meditate, and God himself came and visited him and said, who are those people who came here? That was God. God came to Balaam and said, who are those people in your house? He says, there are some people who say, Balak sent some people to give me some money to go out with them to curse some guys, some shepherds walking over there. God said, and those people, you cannot curse them. Balaam said, not so. Okay. So he goes to the people and says, guys, God says I cannot go with you because those people are blessed people. I can't curse them. So they go back to Balak. Balak said, why you guys come back? They say, oh, Balaam says he can't go with us. He said, oh, I didn't take enough money. That's why. So he calls greater men, more powerful guys, and gives them more money. Amen. And these are more honorable men. And when they go, Balaam's about to drive them, but when he sees the money, you know, they begin to, they allow the money to fall down a little bit. Balaam sees the money, he says, guys, come and sit down. You know, I'm not supposed to go with you, but let me go and check again and find out what God has to say. Now, God has already spoken. Is God the kind of person who changes his mind? Today he's fine, tomorrow he's all, I mean, no, he doesn't do that. He goes that day and God comes and says, hey, Balaam, what's going on? And Balaam said, Balak has sent the people again to have me go with them to curse those people. God says, well, if you will go, make sure that you don't say anything that I haven't told you not to say. Say only what I will give you to say. Balaam said, yes, sir. And then he takes the money and goes with them. Balaam loves money. We call it the wages of unrighteousness. Amen. We can't use our office to make our own money. Amen. I hear what I'm saying. Many of you are going to be pastors and evangelists all over the world. You can't take the job that God has given. The Bible says that heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. Now, is anybody here who have ever come to and said, give me money because of what I'm doing for you? I will never do that. Is it that I can't do it? I can do it. But then I'll be in the way of who? Balaam. I don't want his faith. I don't want no sword to cut off my head. Hallelujah. Someone stood in front of the congregation of Israel at the time he was about to die and said, is anybody here that have taken your cow or taken your goat? They said, nobody here. Can you imagine that? The greatest prophet. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, I'm telling you that this man loved money, and the money drove his prophetic ministry. He followed the trail of money, not the trail of God's voice. When you follow money, you will make a mistake. The Bible says that a gift perverts judgment. The sons of Samuel couldn't continue in the tradition of their father because they loved bribes, and that undermined their ministry. May God help us. Because it is very tempting. There are people that when you pray for, things happen so quickly, they will give their house to you even if you ask them. So that temptation is there. And people have taken advantage of that. Hallelujah. I'm not saying offerings are bad. What I'm saying is if you love money, it will lead you astray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This man was a man of God. He understood how to hear God. Amen. But now he became somebody that the Satan could also visit. And according to Numbers, after he consulted God about 2-3 times and realized that God wasn't going to change his word, the Bible said the next time he raised the altars, he did not use enchantments as he used to. Can you imagine that? Because he was an enchanter. He had stopped doing what he was doing at first and now was using demonic means to do the things of God or the things of the devil. What does this mean? How can a prophet, a man of God that God speaks through, become a person who becomes a witch doctor? How can that happen? Money. Everybody shout money. Money. Hallelujah. Money is dangerous. So the love of money is the root of all evil. This man followed money, and see, once you follow money, Satan becomes your friend. Judas Iscariot used to help himself from the things in the bag. So who became his friend? Satan actually possessed him. But Satan entered him. That is crazy. I hear what I'm saying. So we have to be careful. Am I speaking today? So Balaam became a perverted prophet. We call that person a false prophet. Somebody who knows God, can hear the voice of God, but has become perverted. And what happens is that when people become perverted, the devil comes to them in the form of an angel. The Bible says Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. And that is how you have Islam. That is how you have Mormonism. That's how you have all these other different religions who thought they were Christians. But they began to hear voices and began to see angels coming to them in caves, and they became totally perverted, and they have constructed religions that are leading many people astray to the kingdom of darkness. They love God, but they became perverted. Amen. Are you hearing this word? Say, I will never be perverted. I will stay holy all my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Peter did it. John did it. They succeeded. You also succeed in your ministry. You will make it. Amen. Hallelujah. So Balaam is a person who in fact, let's look at what Balak said about him. Maybe it will be better that way. Let's quickly move there. In Numbers 22. Amen. Hallelujah. Numbers 22. Are we in this house? Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Say, every Balaam raised up against my life, receive the sword of the living God in Jesus' name. Yeah, I don't think many people have Balaams here. That's fine. So we'll take it like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In Numbers 22, verse 4, Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company, that's Israel, lick up all that is around us, as an ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, everybody shall Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Bethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people that just came out of Egypt. Look at them. They are covering the whole surface of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray you. What did he say? Curse these people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we might smite them, and I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. You know, when you drive on the street, you see psychics, right? All over the place. Balaam wasn't just a psychic. He was a psychic to kings. He was in the highest level. We call them occult masters or grandmasters. Won't go too deep there. Amen. But they're all over the place. Amen. And they are consulted by big men. But I believe the time has come where the people of God will tap into the spirit and see things like Joseph and Daniel did. And instead of the big men going to those perverted prophets, they will come to the true expression of the prophetic. In the mighty name of Jesus. They said, look, we know that whatever you say comes to pass. Come and curse this book for us. And he went with money. And Balaam eventually went with them. On the way, you know what happened? An angel stood against him and would have killed him, but for his donkey that saw what was happening. And Balaam began to beat the donkey. The donkey said, what are you doing? The donkey began to speak. Have you heard a donkey speaking before? That means that this guy was really messed up. He was so messed up, a donkey. In fact, there's a picture there like that. You know, he was so messed up that the donkey had to speak to him. And the donkey said, Master, why are you beating me? And Balaam said, why are you also causing me to fall down? Why did you crash my foot against the wall? If I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you today. And the donkey said, Master, ever since you have had me, have I ever behaved in this way to you before? Haven't I been so faithful to you? Balaam said, yes. And then God opened Balaam's eyes, and then he saw what the animal was seeing. Hallelujah. Look, when you follow the wages, you can't see well. Animals will see more than you see. Hallelujah. It's better to stay with the Lord. When you stay with the Lord, you see better. Hallelujah. The donkey said, look at this guy. He says, why are you doing that? He says, why are you making me? He was crushing his foot against the wall. And the angel would have killed him. The angel said, okay, when Balaam saw the angel, he fell down on his face before the angel. And the angel said, okay, you can go now. There are some more pictures. You know, he said, you can go now. But when you go, be careful what you say. This guy was so perverted, God had to threaten him. Because he knew that there was nothing he, God, could do about this guy going out. I don't know whether you understand this, but some people are so sold out to evil that even God himself has to really frighten them. Why can't God just kill him? Why doesn't God just kill them? They are on the earth. They have every right to be here, just as much as you do. Everybody has a lease on their life. Amen. And as long as the sons of men and the sons of God don't do anything about it, they will prosper. Amen. Until you rise up and do something about what Balaam is doing against your life, nothing happens. Amen. We'll get to that soon. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Bible says, come now, curse these people for me. Look at verse 17. Balak said, I will promote thee. Verse 17. He said, I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Brother, sister, there's a lot of money if some of us will stop preaching the messages that we are preaching. Amen. Oh, yes. There's a lot of money out there. In fact, a man of God came out recently and said that don't be taking any grants because the grants have strings attached. And there are certain grants when you get, you can't go out and evangelize. There are certain grants when you get, you can't speak anything against fornication and immorality and those things. You offend people. Many money comes with what? Strings attached. Balaam is being told by Balak, come and curse this for, I'll give you money, I'll promote you. And Balaam follows this guy. And when he gets there, he tells him what to do. He says, put some altars there. And then he will sacrifice on 7 different altars. And then he will go out. And God will come and visit him. And God will tell him, don't say anything. And when he went there, the Bible says, that God put a word in his mouth and said, these people, you can't curse them. Amen. So he came out and prophesied and declared the word. And Balak said, I called you to curse these people. I didn't call you to bless them. Why are you cursing these people? Why are you blessing them? Amen. So, you know, Balaam didn't want to lose his man. He said, don't worry about it. Let's go to another place. Let's see what will happen there. Amen. So he went there again and said, God, that's those people. And God says, I'm not the man that I should lie, the son of man that I should change my mind. Have I said and will I not do it? Hallelujah. He says, I can't change my mind. These people, I can't curse them. And look at what God said. God said, I haven't seen any iniquity in them. I haven't seen anything bad in that camp. That means it's only when iniquity is seen and only when transgression is seen that God will bring a judgment on that place. But at that point in time, there was no perverseness. Balaam put that in his briefcase. He noted it down and put it in his pocket. He found a loophole. Everybody shout loophole. Mm-hmm. And then he tried again and again. God said, bless them, don't curse them. And then finally, Balaam said, whoever curses this people is cursed. So Balak said, it's now, go home, stop worrying me. And then the Bible says, Balaam told Balak, come, let's go, and I'll tell you what you need to do about these people. Amen. And look at what Balaam told Balak, these people, you can't curse them. There's nothing you can do about that, but there's something you can do. You can entice them. Amen. These guys have been walking in the desert for so long. Amen. When you're walking in the desert, in fact, the Bible says that when the cloud is on the move, you have to follow. There's no time to bath. There's no time to freshen up. There's no time to do your makeup. There's no time to do your hair. Hallelujah. Thank God for the saloons we have around. Amen. God bless your hearts. It's a billion-dollar ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, the Israelites didn't have the time to do all that stuff. And the Midianites were living there. And Moab and Midian, they had an alliance. And I think the Midianite women were nicer than the Moabite women. So they allowed the Midianite women, the young ones, the nice ones, to stand in front. And the Israelite men who had been seeing something for so long, now were seeing something totally different. The Bible says they went after them. And Balaam was the one that gave that information to Balak. Amen. You see, in this world, the devil knows he can't come against you directly. He knows you are hidden in Christ in God. He knows you are the apple of God's eye. He knows that you are in a strong tower of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He knows that if he puts his hand against you, he's touching the eyeball of God himself. He's aware that the blood of Jesus is upon your life, that there are angels encamped all around you. He said to God, have you not put a hedge all around your son Job? So when he realized that he can't come against you directly, what does he do? He uses a battle maneuver called outflank. Everybody shout outflank. Outflank means if I come against you this way, you have powerful defenses here. I will waste time, effort, and manpower just coming against you this way. So they will look for the weak point. And they will come in through that weak point, amen, and come against you. During the Second World War, the First World War, the French were heavily fortified in the area that the Germans wanted to come. So the Germans realized that coming that way, they will lose people. Amen. So they went around them and came from their weak spot and took France in just a short time. We call that outflanking. Amen. So Balaam realized that there was nothing they could do against Israel, but they could outflank them by forcing them out, by tempting them. Amen. So temptation is how Satan has been able to lead the world astray. A powerful man called David was outflanked by a woman called Bathsheba. A powerful wise man called Solomon was outflanked by the enemy with strange women. Many men and women of God have been outflanked with the lust of the flesh, with the pride of life, and with the lust of the eyes. The devil comes at your weak point. He knows those areas of your life where you are weak. And you have to deny the enemy that spot in your life. Amen. And the greatest means is fornication and eating food given to idols. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to understand this. Because if you go to Numbers 25, something began to happen. Balaam told Balak what he had to do. And in Numbers 25, we see them executing that word. Today we are coming against every evil counsel of darkness in Jesus' name. Every Balaam counsel against your life, I command it to fall to the ground. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Every wicked counsel against your life, I decree it shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I release a perpetual sword against any Balaam that comes against your life. All throughout your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Numbers 25. Are you in this house? Bible says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people, that's the woman, they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat, and they bowed down to their gods. Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people, hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that are joined to Baal Peor. Are we all in this house? Verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman. In the sight of who? Moses. And in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That means this was filly. It was clear as day. This guy was openly going against the word of God. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Today we have a javelin in our hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent. And what did he do? He thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague, everybody shall plague, was stayed from the children of Israel. These guys were very busy, but Phinehas got even more busy. I get what I'm saying. We have to get busy against sin as well. The Bible says, and he went after the man, verse 9, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. They went after the Moabite and the Midianitish woman, and as a result, 24,000 died. Amen. According to the Jewish historians, there were about 24,000 women that were sent out against the Israelites. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, we have the Bible, and we have people who also have oral traditions. 24,000 men died because of that sin. Balaam didn't have to curse them. They cursed themselves. They were outflanked. Balaam said, we can't do anything, but we can outflank them. There is something in your life that the enemy can use to outflank you. Today, you must deny the devil that ground. The Bible says, don't allow him to have a foothold in your life. Amen. You know in your life, amen, it could be wine. You know, Brother Noah? Brother Noah was blessed. The day he drank, he ended up cursing somebody. And that's how a curse came back into the very world that God had blessed. Amen. Whatever it is, may God help you. David was a powerful man. But the problem that took him down was our dear sister Bathsheba. Solomon, the wisest man in the whole wide world. God took his wisdom and put some of it in Solomon. And with his wisdom, he went after strange women. That was his problem. It took him down. Hallelujah. And then came to Daniel. The devil tried to outflank Daniel, but he couldn't. Bible says Daniel resolved not to eat of the food that had touched the king's table. Hallelujah. When you are not strong in the spirit, in dreams, you find yourself eating food. Hallelujah. And certain foods you eat open you up to demonic attacks. Now, if you have a dream and you are in heaven and God has given you something to eat, that must be good, right? But if you're in a dream and you're being forced to eat something, some of people are eating sicknesses. Amen. It's a demonic enterprise. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 21, do not eat from the table of demons. Amen. And in many places, not so much here, but in many places there are festivals. Hallelujah. Where people, you know, sacrifice to their idols. Are you aware of that? Yam festival, Homowo festival, different kinds of festivals. Even the Ramadan. You know the Ramadan? When they are done with their fasting, there's some meals that they eat. And they always want to share the food with people around them. Amen. And now food, they don't give it out unless they have first sacrificed it to their idols. And the Bible says, do not eat that kind of food. And Paul has a whole chapter on it. And Jesus came and emphasized that you can't do that. So we have to watch out for that. Say, in Jesus' name, every satanic implantation in my life, I command it to be flushed out, out of my body, out of my digestive system. In the name of Jesus, oh blood of Jesus, flush out of my life every demonic plantation. In the name of Jesus, any demonic diet that has ever gone into my body, I flush it out with the blood of Jesus. I will not eat from the table of demons. I will not drink from the cup of demons. In the name of Jesus, I will not eat from the table of demons. I will not drink from the cup of demons. In the name of Jesus, I invoke this scripture into my digestive system. My digestive system, reject every demonic diet in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. It's God in this house. The Bible says that is the doctrine of Balaam. And there was a certain group of people in the church called Nicolaitans. Everybody say Nicolaitans. And this group of people, Peter talks about them in 2 Peter chapter 2. They turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They said, this was their doctrine. God is a good God. You know that God is good. Full of grace and mercy. He loved us so much. Whilst we were sinners, he died for us. And when he saved us, we were born again with his spirit. So when you sin, they say, the Nicolaitans, they say that when you sin, it's not your body that has sinned. It's not you really. Your real you is your spirit man. That is the one that sinned. So your body, it doesn't matter. It can do whatever it wants to do. Because your spirit man is fine with God. They say, oh, your spirit man is saved, but your flesh is going to die anyway. They'll say something like this. Paul says that mortify the flesh. So the flesh is supposed to die anyway. So whatever you do with it, doesn't matter. So they had a community of wives. They will swipe their wives. I'm talking about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Amen. They will swap their wives. You know, today I'll be with your wife. Tomorrow I'll be with, just swap them. You know this wife swap thing they do on the TV? Uh-huh. They were doing that for real. Amen. And that was what they were doing. It was a loose living, licentiousness. And it was in the church. And there were people in the church that believed it. And there are people in the church today. Universalist churches. Everybody say universalist churches. There are many churches that believe that those sins will not have an eternal problem. There was a certain book that a powerful, powerful, powerful man of God wrote. And he said that, oh, there are some sins like immorality, alcoholism, those things. When you go to heaven, if you are a Christian, you do those things. And when you go to heaven, what will happen is that, you know, you'll be beaten a little bit for those sins you did. You know, but you'll be saved. I was like, wow. People are being deceived. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5 lists all the works of the flesh. And he says it starts with what? Adultery. Look, I put Galatians 5, verse 19. I want you to understand this. The works of the flesh can pull you all down. Amen? So it's important that you give your body to God. Somebody has a song, my body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. Now that's all I know. Hallelujah. Purify me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Like a Lord of them. So that to say my body is your sanctuary. In fact, the Bible says that, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. You can't just joke with your body. Your body belongs to God. Say, my body belongs to God. Hallelujah. He says, the works of the flesh are, It's clear. You see, there's no equivocation. There's no ambiguity here. It's clear. Everybody say it's clear. Sin is sin. We can't hide it. Amen. First one is what? Adultery. That's the headliner. Amen. And then number two, fornication. Number three, uncleanness. You know, just from pornography, all kinds of unclean stuff. Amen. In fact, most of the adverts today on TV are in that session. Unclean. Lasciviousness. You see, I mean, I hear of this. Was it Beyonce? Beyonce was bouncing during the Super Bowl. Amen. Wearing clothes that only married people should wear in the privacy of their bedroom. And you have a stadium full of men. Amen. Watching this thing. And they go home. What's in their mind? When they sleep, what do they see? God have mercy. Amen. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. I get what I'm saying. The whole atmosphere is polluted. Amen. Lasciviousness is loose living. They sleep with this person. This person wasn't very good. I sleep with another person. This one was very good. But I'm tired. Let's move to somebody else. No, just loose living. Just living anyhowly. Amen. It will soon be in the Webster dictionary. Amen. Let's move on. Idolatry. To this day, people walk around with certain things in their pocket. Amen. People have things under their bed. Amen. Witchcraft. Hi. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Are you aware? Hatred. Bible says if you hate somebody, you've actually murdered them. Variance, divisions, emulations, wrath, strife. People, some people can't be at peace with others. There are some people, God help me. There are some people, if there's no problem, they are not happy. They are only happy when there's something going on. There's something, they're excited. It's like, yeah, you know, yeah. This is what happened. Have you heard what this happened? They are all up and going, you know, because something happened. May God remove that. We kill that spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wrath, seditions, heresies, demonic doctrines. Amen. Move on, please. Envies. Many people buy things based on what they've seen, what other people have. Is that true? That falls under that. Murders. What is that? What is that? Drunkenness is a big problem in America. Alcoholism has forced people into rehabs. If it's forcing into rehab, that can be a good thing. If even a policeman who is a worldly man or an unbeliever or a Christian can stop you and say you've drunk too much, let's go to prison, that must be bad. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. That means that drunkenness counterbalances the anointing in your life. That's why God told John the Baptist, you are not going to drink wine all your life. That's why God told Samson, you will not drink wine all your life. God told Manuel's wife, don't even eat anything from the grapevine. Amen? I want to be anointed. Revilings, that's parties life, orgies. In those days, when they had parties, they would have women there, scantily clad. That was back in those days, in Paul's time. Amen? And they'll be doing all kinds of stuff. And they party deep into the night. That is what brought Rome down. The same thing is in America right now. Nightclubs. And such like. What is it, such like? Now, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the Pine Pastor, those which do such things, if you do these things, the Bible says you will not. So I don't care how powerful you are. I don't care how many angels you have seen. I don't care how many Jesuses you have seen. I don't care how many times you are caught up into heaven. But the Bible says that if somebody comes from heaven and tells you something different from what is over here, let him be accursed. God will never go against his own word. He said, Balaam, I can't change my mind. What I've said today, I will say tomorrow. We're talking about eternal judgment. Being able to. The Bible tells pastors, amen, in Ezekiel, to teach people to distinguish between good and bad. So that is what this session is all about. Amen. Now, you know, as I'm saying this, who is the first person that hears this word? I'm the first person to hear it. So I also have to check my own life and make sure that these things are not in my life. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This was what Balaam was doing. These are the various things the enemy can use to outflank you and then pull you away. Amen. So having thought this way, how was Adam outflanked? You know that Adam was the son of God. He heard the word of God. God gave him the express instruction. Don't eat from this tree. You can eat from any tree, but don't eat this tree. So how did Satan outflank Adam? Eventually, Adam ate the tree, the fruit of the tree. How come? Through the woman. And the woman, how did she eat? The snake used a temptation. Made the thing that was bad look good. Today we have been told that what is bad is good, right? We saw our rookie kissing a man on TV. What kind of image is that? It's to portray that this is good. There's nothing bad about it. We see Britney Spears kissing some other woman on TV. What is that? A bad image, calling something good bad. And so these images, you know, just hit and bombard people left and right, and they say, oh, this thing can't be bad. Amen. May God teach us better. May God help us know the difference between right and wrong. The devil knew he couldn't attack Adam. He went through the weak point. You see, Eve came later on. Eve didn't hear from God direct. Who heard from God direct? Adam did. So he knew that going against Adam would be tough. He goes against the person with the secondhand information. Because that information is not firmly ingrained in their hearts. And was able to entice it. Bible says that Adam was not deceived. He was rebellious. Hallelujah. Now, you see, if Satan came with the two horns and the tail like that, Adam would say, take your foot and go away. But when the devil came, he came in a very nice shape with everything intact. Amen. And said, eat the fruit. Dude, eat the fruit. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there are things in our life when he saw them and says, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. This person came from my body. He loved this woman. The devil said, this is the person you love. Okay. I'm going to use the person you love against you. That's why God said that if you love your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Those soul ties can come against you. Amen. So we have to rise up, and whatever can hurt our relationship with God, we have to work against it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, today I'm being too tough today. It's all good. Amen. We need to understand. We're talking about eternal judgment. The Nicolaitans had this doctrine. And Jesus came with a sword and said, I cannot allow this to keep on going on. He said, you need to do something about it. Because of that doctrine, Satan had established a throne in that church. And he had a seat in that church and was dwelling there. We will not give the devil that kind of throne. Every throne of immorality, we pull it down in the mighty name of Jesus. Every kind of foul eating in dreams, I overcome it by the blood of Jesus. Say, in Jesus' name, I loose myself from dream captivity in the name of Jesus. I loose my soul from every form of manipulation in the dream life in the name of Jesus. Every demonic catering demonic food to me, I reject it. I cast you out in the name of the Lord Jesus. O sword of the living God, I release you against every satanic caterer in the name of Jesus. Every demonic catering equipment attached to my dream life, I take the sword of the living God and I sever that link and cut myself off from every demonic catering equipment in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The word of God is working on your heart. Amen. God is doing something. There's a reversal of things that went down. Those who rejected what the enemy offered, God promoted them. Hallelujah. Jesus said, those that will not hold the doctrine of Balaam, channeled through the Nicolaitans, he will give them some things. Hallelujah. He said, I will give them a white stone on which a name is written that nobody knows but they themselves. In those days, when somebody pleased the emperor, they will give them a white stone that gave them free access to games and other things. Amen. So that means that when you have the white stone, you have free access to the things that God has to offer you. You are exempted from certain punishment. David had a white stone because his life was pleasing to God. So everyone he messed up, God had a mercy in his life. Amen. Are you hear what I'm saying? We need a white stone in our life. And certain people have unprogressive labels upon their life. But when God gives you the white stone, there are new identities that are released. Some have an identity of failure, an identity of defeat, an identity of shame. But when God gives you that white stone, he releases an identity of success, an identity of good luck. I mean, an identity where fortunes are attracted to you, where goodness chases you because of your identity. Identity is everything. Look at this man of God called Creflo. Dollar. Does he lack? No. Hallelujah. Name is very, very powerful. God said, Abraham, your name is messing you up. I'm changing it to what? Abraham. He said, Jacob, your name means struggle. So that's why you have been struggling for 21 years. I'm going to change it now to Israel, where you rule with God and rule with men. Say in Jesus' name. Any unprogressive label established on my life, oh blood of Jesus, wipe it off in the name of Jesus. With the blood of Jesus, I wipe off from my life every mark of defeat, every mark of disgrace, every mark of destruction. I wipe you off with the blood of Jesus. I now receive the seal of the blood of Jesus. I receive the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need a new identity. Say new identity. We are receiving a new identity in this year. It's an identity that will cause you to prosper in life. You are going to make it in this world, in this year. This is a year of the increase in your life. This is a year of rest in your life. I call it into your life in the name of Jesus. I decree a rearrangement of your life to be synchronized with the patterns and plans of God for your life. I decree that what God has in his mind concerning you come into fruition. May you begin to blossom and flourish according to the plans of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is doing something right now. And he said, if you overcome this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is rooted in the doctrine of Balaam, he said, I will give you the manna, the hidden manna. Everybody say hidden manna. When the manna came in the desert, the Bible says at the end of the 40 years, the manna ceased when they got to the land of promise. Because the land of promise, there was food to eat. So now the manna ceased. Before they got to the land of promise, God told Moses, take some of the manna and hide it in the pot for generations. And put that pot in the Ark of the Covenant. So that it will be there as an abiding testimony of how I provided for you in the desert. For 40 years, you did not have any food. But I provided you food from heaven. So when you are given the hidden manna, number one is divine provision. Divine provision in the worst of circumstances, in the worst of situations, in a situation where you know that there's now no food for you, God will provide you with that hidden manna. I release the hidden manna in your life. I command divine provision in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not lack in this year. You will not experience scarcity in this year. You will not lack in this year. The Lord will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Father is supplying your needs. The Father is supplying your need. I command a blessing on your finances. I command a blessing upon you. Some two men were walking up a mountain, and one man said, I see the fire, I see the wood, but I don't see any lamp. And one man said, don't worry about it, God will provide for himself a lamp. They went up there, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. I'm telling you that there's a ram that you're going to see in this year. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I decree that you are walking into divine abundance in this year. In this year, that identity of lack and scarcity has been expired. In the name of Jesus, a new identity of supply, divine supply, is in your life. I decree it to be so. It is a hidden manna. And the hidden manna also refers to revelations. The hidden manna came only in the early morning when the dew came. Those who will learn how to wake up in the morning to pray, God will download some divine revelations in your life. You will know the secret of your life. You will not be outwitted in this life. You will know things before it happens. Whatever traps are laid, you will be able to dismantle them before you get there. And God will show you where the wells are. He will show you where the gold veins are. He will show you where the rivers of gold and the rivers of oil and honey are. God will begin to download this information. Strategies to excel even at your workplace. Witty inventions that only you can know by the Spirit of the living God. Some of you in the academic realm, in the morning hours, God will show you answers and give you revelations concerning what you need to know, concerning tests and examinations. Some of you with businesses, God will show you who to go to and how to go to places. God will open doors for you. Doors are open for you. In the morning hours, God will reveal things that nobody else could have shown you. God will give you business ideas, strategies to make it in the wilderness, in the time of recession. God will still cause you to excel. That kind of God is still alive and kicking. If you wake up in the morning, God will give all this to you. But this is only for the overcomer. This is only for those who overcome that evil doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. God has decreed that a man should have his wife. Amen. And that the Bible says, be satisfied with her all the days of your life. Bible says, why should you spread your waters abroad? When you spread your waters abroad, money never stays in your hand. Amen. I will end by saying this. Many people's destinies have been destroyed by fornication. Even in the world, when you mess up with a woman, your career comes down. Hallelujah. We know we can go through names after names. Great men of God whose legacies were tarnished by those silly decisions. A momentary time of pleasure can undermine your destiny for life. If you are not married, find a woman. Bible says that if you find a woman, you have found what? Favor with God. If you have a woman, stick with her. Hallelujah. Everybody say, if you have a woman, stick with her. Amen. If you have a man, stick with him. Hallelujah. In this particular area, I know men have more problems than women. Amen. When it comes to other issues, I know we'll hit on the women more. But let's stay with our wives. That is the way to be an overcomer. Amen. If the TV is worrying you, put it off. If that internet, you go in there, you go to site that you close it down before your better half gets there, you better do something about it. Amen. Those Netflix accounts that you bring things in brown envelopes, time to do something about it. Bible says if your eye messes you up, pluck it out. Why should you go into hell with all your eyes? He says, pluck it out and go one-eyed into heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God touch our lives today. God is doing something in our lives right now. Father, I thank you for this word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for your people who have heard this word. I release the sword into this church. Any ungodly soul tie that causes them to be entangled in the doctrine of Balaam, I take this sword and I cut it off from their lives. I lose them, Father, to be able to walk in your will. I liberate them to follow your word in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call them Joseph. Joseph said, I will not sleep with you. And because he didn't sleep with Potiphar's wife, he became second in command to Pharaoh. Daniel said, I will not eat that food. He became 10 times better than every person in that kingdom. And he became second in command to Nebuchadnezzar. Father, as your people stand for the truth, and Father, as they overcome the doctrine of Balaam, Father, release in their lives that white stone of victory. Release in their life that white stone with a new divine identity. In the name of Jesus, release in their households the golden pot of manna. Release it, the presence of God. Release it in their life. I release this grace upon your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.